Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Tom and Mr. Hookland. That was great. We always sing together. I praise the Lord. That's great. All right. Let's see. Okay. Oh, my goodness. I didn't bring that one. All right. I'm sorry. We're going to read a scripture from Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Yes, thank you. I just needed a remote control. I forgot to bring the receiver. But the sanctuary, well, we do have it in the sanctuary. So Mr. Tom is giving it to me. So I'm going to use this one instead of mine. Thank you, Mr. Tom. Thank you, I appreciate it. This is a much better one, though. Thank you, Mr. Hookley. Oh, Tom. Oh, we have another Tom. Okay. All right. Okay, let us all read the scripture from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. This is a very familiar passage. So we're going to dig into this depth of this meaning for these days. All right, let's begin. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but rather on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Who is in heaven. Amen. I forgot to bring my Bible, but it's okay. I'll rely on my PowerPoint. Right. Wow, this spring. Wow. What a days we have. This is, I love living in the Newport News and Yorktown, this area, Virginia Beach. And this weather is perfect. It's not too cold, not too hot. It's similar to the country where I grew up. Usually born and grew up in South Korea. I love being here. And we have great mountains and the seashore. Wow, wow. And we have so great foods and all the vegetables. This good state at the place that we can live together. What I really concern is that I even kept telling and asking and try to build this good godly community. Godly community. I mean, these days we really need a church that is strong and very loving, kind church that we can be accountable to each other, encourage each other. Wow, I come to this point that, wow, what has happened to our Christianity, which is a distinctive characteristic is the salt and light. Salt on this earth, light in this world. Wow. So what does it mean by, you are the salt and you are the light? And just like that, we as a Christian, as the community of this church, should shine like our light shine before others. Others are non-believers who is outside of the church. So what has happened to inside of church, inside church? Well, inside church, we are the salt. We are two distinctive characteristics. It's very valuable. It has been throughout the whole, this human history. Well, back then, we didn't have a refrigerator. So we needed a salt to preserve all those, good things, Not only preserved, it changes. I mean, it gives flavor as a new taste. So everybody could enjoy the salt. It changes taste. Not only food, this is a metaphor that it changes the culture around us, outside of church. Because it says, the metaphor says, you are the light and the earth. That means it's earth, the culture surrounding us, surrounding our church, the community. And comes to the divine light. We are the light of the world. Two distinctive characteristics is reveals to everything surrounding us. What is true? Reveal the truth. Revelation. Show that how our life has been designed by God through this church, community, and Christian. Lastly, the divine light gives direction. We are living in a confused world. We are all confused. It is a pluralism. Everybody's opinion is equally right. Everybody is right. Everybody is right. We're so confused. I don't know what is right and what is wrong. But the divine light, God's word gives direction. It says, Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word, God's word, divine word, the light is a lamp to my feet, every individual, and a light to my path. That means we know how to, our direction, our purpose in our life. Why am I on this earth? We're not confused because we are following the God's word. The divine light gives direction to every individual who are the follower of Jesus Christ. But ever since, it's been a long time that the world is changing so rapidly with this technology. Lots of things has happened. Not only this culture, this world, but inside the church. Well, internet, there are so many false news. Not the true news. Through this technology, it has been spread just instantly. And what is God's word? It needs to be spread out this whole world. So, what happened to the saltiness? What happened to bringing the light into the world? What happened? This Bible verse is not as judgmental. God is the only one is on sitting on the judgment seat to judging the outside church, unbelievers. But inside our church, it's encouraging. We are accountable to each other, helping each other, building each other up. And just that's why we have a Bible study, what the Bible really says. And just we have a small community, just to pray for each other. And the spiritual leaders are leading each other. The youngsters, those who just born into this godly, the kingdom of heaven, new baby, spiritual baby, needs to be nurtured. That's why we are here. We are helping each other. We're not judging the baby Christian. It's loving and caring, accountability. It shows that's the question that I have heard, that what has happened to my saltiness, the light that I'm supposed to shine upon everyone, show God's mercy and love, and making this community righteous community so that everybody can see. Well, because there has been dramatic shift in cultural norms. Modern culture has been changed. I will show you the two charts, the top one and bottom one. Way back in 1950s, I share with the youngsters, even this current generation, They have not even ever saw that all the restaurants, all the grocery stores were closed on Sundays. Did it really happen in America? Really? They're not even allowed. The politics says now no alcohol supposed to be sold on Sundays. Our youngsters never experienced that kind of culture. That culture was in way back. It's kind of ancient time. It's like 50 years before or 70 years before. That's how it says 1950s. On the right side, the plus 10 is righteous community. And on the left side is wicked community. Church was right in the middle of that, you know, righteous community, leading what? The world. In the light, the white side is indicating light. The left side is darkness. What has happened in 2000s after that millennial? What has shifted? A dramatic shift. As you can see, church community is following the world, and we are on the left side. Minus 10. On the right side, the chart indicating plus 10. Wow, that how it has been dramatically has been changed. Church was influencing the whole world. Because back then, the right and wrong was so clear, cut, there's no gray spot, and it's just white and black. This is the, you know, Christianity, the ethic. It is helping the community and leading good light and saltiness of this godly community. And it's the culture in general of the church. Whether they disagree or disagree, the ethics, biblical ethics, but the whole world system was following the spiritual force, the lightness, the light shining to the world, and saltiness that we can still remember what has happened back then. You can see that back then the marriage was a covenant. That's it. And you love your partner the rest of your life. Divorce rate was single digits. It's very low. And if a teenage girl was pregnant, wow, you don't even announce it. It was kind of, you know, no one want to talk about it. And abortion was illegal. That was way back then. You can see how it dramatically has changed this culture. And on the right side, I mean left side, it has shifted way left. Well, then what happened to the light of the world? Well, as you can see, the divorce rate inside of the church is similar to the outside the church. Wow, including me, the evangelical Bible teaching churches around America is not that salty. Well, it's not out of a condemnation or judgmental spirit. We need to change it. I don't want to see that anymore. I can't even speak of homosexuality, a pulpit, on the pulpit. If you do it, then you will get in trouble. Well, that has been really changed. I can feel it. I have to be very careful. I'm not judgmental. I just want to help myself, help my community be strong and more loving than ever before. Because teenagers, they are a smart generation. They're well educated and they need to be loved. We are here, all baby boomers, we are ready to love this community. We have been here for a long time and established church and providing this safe ground for my offsprings and our next generation. And we have to know what kind of generation we are living in this current, in the modern you know, these days. So what is this dramatic change? What is the symptom? Well, I'm sure that I don't even have to indicate it. I don't have to reveal what has been happened, but we all know that we have lost this taste and changing the sense of culture. As the Bible calls it, the Greek word is a pornos. The word pornography comes from. But it's not only sexual, the world is corrupted, immoral. There should have been a principle that we can follow, but there is not set of good ethics. And even in university and college, we have to teach the ethics because businessmen thought that many people are not honest. There's no kindness. We have to teach the youngsters, next generation. That's why they have this class, to teach them, because world has been corrupted politically and environmentally. See, you can see that the iceberg is above the water line, you can see it, but bottom line, there are some more things following. This is just a symptom. When you have the cold, you see the symptom, but your whole body system has been changed. Because of that, you can see the symptoms of cold. You're shivering and you feel cold. You have a headache. What is it? The Bible says immorality. Well, these days we see that people are living together as a husband and wife, even they're not even going to get married. That's the environment. Let's see. God created the whole world, and he created the human being, Adam, and he was very excited, and it was so good. And the following the image of God, and they have their offspring, they were supposed to be multiplied, and there were so many people, and we call it city. The city, the word, it came from police. And the politic, the word came from the police, the city. How to run this city, this community? It's the politics, it's the arrangement of how community should live with one another. Who is to lead our community? That's the city, politics. So we make some rules and laws. How about the abortion laws? We make it so that the community, strong and good community, should live we all together. But these days that we have a negative connotation about politics. We said the corrupt people making lots of money and they make a promise that then I will serve this community. But they never have done what they have promised. That is not the original meaning behind the word police. The politics, well, it has been corrupted as immorality. And because it really affects our living area, this the culture, the environment, cohabitation, fornication, adultery, pornography, and abortion, all that kind is, God created this amazing world. God really want to have a good relationship with the human being, loving you. But this earth was given to us, we should have this stewardship. And we have the responsibility to keep this environment as God has created it. Well, but there were so many violence, bringing the guns into the school. Wow. There are many other things that is having. This is the symptom. But thing is that underneath the waterline, the debate is, what is truth? Who can say what is right and what is wrong? Everybody has opinions, so let's vote on it. Democracy. There is a relative truth and there's absolute truth. Because of that, we see these all kinds of symptoms. Underneath the iceberg, the waterline, we can see that. It's not the symptom, it's a problem. The problem is way deeper, the philosophical area that we, what is idea? This is what has been taught in college and university, philosophically. But in reality, we see all these symptoms. Well, first of all, absolute truth. Absolute truth is that this absolute truth is affecting the circle. The box is the absolute truth. The arrow indicating influencing the experience of all individual, whether the person agrees the absolute truth or disagree the absolute truth, but it really affects the culture surrounding this one individual person. The truth affects realm of experience, but it's just as true in how it affects all of life, whether experience it or not. For instance, in a college, when you go there, they were telling that the gravity is wrong. It's not true. Well, do you want to know the real gravity is true and real and absolute truth? Why just bring this person up to the three-story building on the top and just ask the person, let's jump off this cliff from this three-story building. Well, gravity, even light feather, because of gravity, it falls. Philosophically, the gravity could be wrong, a relative truth, but in reality, concrete, once you come to the point that you're going to lose your life, wow, gravity is true. Whatever everybody says about sexuality, the Bible says it, everybody has their own opinions, but there is consequences for every truth that we believe. Relative truth, you see that was absolute truth, that was under the umbrella of your experience, my perception, how I see the world affects the truth. It's relative truth. Well, Korean, they said, if I fall in love, it's romance. If you fall in love, that's adultery. Because it's, what is right is for, it is right for me, and that is right for you. Everybody equally right. So that is relative truth. That's why as under this symptom, we have this two different truth. Right now, you just think that, oh, what is the absolute truth? I think the community, we all, you know, just got a sense of what it means. Yes, God's word is absolute truth. It's not enough to talk about philosophical area, but whose ethic that we have to follow? Who has a right to say what is right and wrong? Scripture, final authority. The scripture that we just read is a famous passage. Matthew chapter 5. All those citizens of kingdom of heaven, this is the way we live. And there was a 10 list of beatitude. After that says that you see that you are the citizen of kingdom of heaven, and that now you just show the world that we are citizens of heaven. How? Be the light and be salt. See that iceberg, the way down. God's word is inerrant. And it's the final authority. God has breathed out. That's the scripture. Breathed out from God's mouth. It just corrects all of us and changes our lives. It's the final authority. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16 and 17 said, all scriptures is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. 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 That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Every good work needs to be shown to the whole world if we be a salt and light. And light means that I live my life whether I feel like to do it or not. This is the final authority about how we guard our environment, about sexuality. That the way we live as Christian. Well, I have explained to you enough that how dramatically this cultural norm has been shifted, has changed dramatically. And we come to the point that the scripture has the final authority. It says that it will change all lives. And Paul said it. Paul said it. Wow. Paul said to the community and people that you should be light and shine to the whole world. What kind of Christianity in the first century? Wow, the Roman citizens, in Paul's days, the Roman citizens, you know, they have a rule that you have a wife and she is a lineage. If you bore a girl, just throw into dump. If it's a son, then this is good lineage. That is the Roman rule for man. But Christian, they are light and salt. They changed the whole world and culture. They brought that life from that dump. And love this girl and raise them. Just much like these days, the foster care, and they brought the light to the world. That was the society back then. And that's how the Paul said it in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It says, do all things without complaining, grumbling, and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. So he just picked up the gospel, Jesus Christ, the final authority. He just threw this gospel word and Philippians and told them, this is a culture that we are living in. Roman citizens, they go to this temple, like in Ephesus, a temple of Diana, and there was a temple prostitute. You can't have this immoral act. There, it's not the unbelievers, they are the ones who are in church, inside church. And this is what he said. You need to shine as a light to this midst of, in the midst of the crooked world and generation. Jesus said it, and Paul said it, and this culture. It was way worse than today. The culture was corrupted back then, first century. So what is the solution? What is the solution? Only way that we can have that saltiness and the light to the world is John chapter 17, verse 17 sanctify them in the truth, absolute truth. Your word is truth. Wow, what is your reference point? There are so many options. Pluralism. You can pick like a salad bar. You can pick what is good for you. You know, what it feels like to do. So life is meaningless. Killing people, it's just nothing. That is the world. Only way we can change this shift, this cultural norm to righteousness is to be sanctified. Outside church, it's up to God. But inside church, God is saying that one needs to be pure, clean. Wow, it says, do not complaining, do not disputing each other, or grumbling, just be the light to the world. Wow, this is what it said. What we just read in Matthew chapter 5, the two verses, 201 verse prior to what we just read in verse 13, you are the salt of the world, earth. In verse 11 says, well, at the end of the beatitude, last characteristic of the beatitude is in verse 11. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 says, blessed are you when others revile you. What does it mean? And persecute you. What does it mean? Utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. It says grumbling, complaining. Well, it says be glad. Rejoice. For your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecute the prophets who were before you. And comes the point, verse 13, famous, the Sermon on Mountain. You are the light. You are the salt on the earth. You are the light of the world. Likewise, your light should shine before others. Show good works. Instead of grumbling, disputing, complaining, be glad. Wow. Be glad. The reward is waiting for us. So let us be sanctified so we can show the saltiness and bring light to the world. How do we do it? How do we do it? Two things that it can help us. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, according to Amplified, the Bible translation says, for what business is it of mine to judge outsiders who is a non-believer, outside church? That's not my business. This is what the Paul says. Do you not judge those who are within the church? It means protecting the church as the situation requires. Because, because it spread the whole community. And this is supposed to be righteous community. How do we do it? Remove the wicked one from among you. What should we do it literally? Well, we just read the 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. If you go all in a part of the chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. This is what the Bible says. With the power of our Lord Jesus, we have to pray that you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved the day of the Lord. That's what it means by removing. Deliver this man to Satan. Wow, that's too hard, right? But you know, all those great followers of Christ, who is Paul, he had a thorn in his flesh. The thorn was the messenger of Satan. So as it says, just bring that person into Satan. What does that mean? that really keep Paul from exalting himself, making sanctified. That's why he had a thorn. When you're weak, I mean, you made strong because of this thorn. You be humble. You be sanctified so that you can shine your light to the world. You can be the salt on this earth. That's why. That's how we remove the wickedness inside of our heart and make us sanctified. Not only that, Job, you know the Job. You know, that God just allowed him to hit Job to testing his being faithfulness. So he handed over this Job to Satan. What has happened? He just repented, put his ashes on, he just more sanctified, and God blessed him. He lost every properties. He was a wealthy man. He was doubled. He even sanctified. Put this person, handed over to Satan. That's what it means. That way we can be sanctified. It's not just by the church law and do some disciplining. It's a prayer. With the power of Lord Jesus Christ, it's not our power. It's the Jesus Christ's power that sanctified all of us, including me. The Paul's aim and our aim in handing someone over to Satan is some striking misery. Well, see, we can see that. What is it? Colossians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. According to the Good News Bible translation, this is what it said. Do not be deceived by these worldly, cultural norms that make us confused, pluralism. Don't be deceived by these lies. There's an absolute truth. See what is going to happen. God cannot be mocked, amen, because God's word is absolute truth. He can be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows the pleases his sinful nature, absolute truth. This is a relative truth. From that nature will reap destruction. We can see the symptoms here. The one who sows the pleases the spirit, following the absolute truth, from the spirit will reap eternal life. There will be consequences. Whether you followed absolute truth, whether you follow relative truth. If we believe the scripture is the final authority, then we can be sanctified. That's what the whole Bible is telling us, to make our community much stronger against this winds coming at us, this worldly cultural norms. I would, bottom of my heart, I've been struggling. Wow. As Korean American, immigrant to the United States, I know the two cultures. I know way back in 70s and 60s, what was the life back then? What is life right now while we're living together? We have seen all those cultures. 60s, 70s, 80 years, we have seen all that. Can you see what has been changed? It has been bothering all of us. And it is our time. I have changed. Wow, goodness. I am influenced by this relative truth. I can see myself. I have changed. Wow, there's so tolerance. But I just found that, oh, I forgot that there is absolute truth. I shared with this youngster, young adults, Friday Bible study. Wow, they were amazed. Wow, they were amazed. That is right. We forgot about it. Thank you for reminding us there is absolute truth. Final authority. When I'm holding the Bible, wow, this is the light.
I forgot about the whole thing. Why have I lost my saltiness? Why have I done it? Why have I done it? Why have I done it? I want to go back. I was so blessed that I could see that this America was great. Wow. Sundays, everybody go to church. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen all those Christian family. I went to the Thanksgiving dinner. I went to the Christmas dinner. They were welcoming all those foreigners. Even back then, they didn't know who were Korean. They were kept asking, are you Japanese? But I'm Korean. But they were so kind. They show us what is Christian family living like on Sundays. Wow. My best friend's mom said, hey, James, today is a Sunday. I don't cook. Oh, what do you mean? You know, we have a leftover. You see that we had a feast on Saturday? That is a leftover. We eat this food on Sundays. I don't cook on Sundays. Why? Why? That really taught me real things. Real things. Oh, this is a real Christianity. Back then. This great American Christian has taught me a lot. But nowadays has changed a lot. And it's time for shift that cultural norm to righteousness. I'm with this young adult. Yes, Pastor, let's do it. We can do it. Wow, I was so excited this Friday night. Wow. So somebody said, well, I loved the worship. I believe in this. But who is anyone to tell me what to do? Who can say this is right and this is wrong? Whose ethics that we have to follow? And Jesus would say, I am. Thank my Lord. You said, I am. You have the only my reference point that I can look it up. And this is how I can live my life. I won't be confused anymore. I'm not there yet, but I will live it out. I will do it. At least I'm not confused. At least I'm not lost. I'm still in God's mercy and grace, and there is truth. Thank my Lord, that you have spoken to us through this scripture. Can we read all pray together? Salt and light in this modern culture. Is that we are the salt and light. Let's pray.